Hi, I'm Alison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. We have seven amazing shows to dive into for our 2024 season.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front row seat.
See you at the theater.
Welcome back to the 2024 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and the Anishinaabeg peoples. We're recording on site at the Thousand Islands Playhouse, looking out on the beautiful St. Lawrence River. My name is Alison Hess, and I am the Education and Engagement Manager here at the Playhouse. And I would like to introduce our new co-host for the 2024 season, Stephanie Graham.
Hi there.
Stephanie is the Artistic Associate at the Thousand Islands Playhouse, as well as a director, award-winning choreographer, artistic leader, and educator. Most recently, you might have seen her at the Playhouse as director choreographer for Back in 59, The Music Man, Anne of Green Gables, and, coming up this season, Mamma Mia! We are super excited to have her as co-host for this season. Welcome!
Hi there! For our first episode of the 2024 season, we're diving right into the chaotic comedy Liars at a Funeral, which has had its world premiere at last year at the Blythe Festival. What do you do when your family is cursed with a succession of twins who don't get along? Throw your own funeral, of course. The family matriarch Mavis is hell-bent on breaking the curse before it's too late, so she feigns her own death to bring her family together. But little does she know, she's not the only family member bending the truth. This comedy of secrets and ridiculous deceits brings to light what it means to be family, no matter how dysfunctional.
Now, I love a farce, and I am so excited for this one. We're also so incredibly lucky to have playwright Sophia Fabili and director Krista Jackson in the studio with us today. Welcome. Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much. I would first like to introduce Sophia. Sophia is a playwright, actor, director, and educator. As an award-winning playwright, her works include The Philanderess, which won the Second City Award for Best New Comedy, Liars at a Funeral, the Ellen Ross Stewart Opening Doors Award, and her newest project, Why It's Impossible to Raise a Girl, is set to premiere next year at the Great Canadian Theatre Company in Ottawa.
Woo-hoo.
She served as the Associate Artistic Director for three seasons, fun fact, and directed Every Brilliant Thing in 2022 here at TIP in the Fire Hall. Welcome, Sophia.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming all the way from Kingston.
Oh, yes.
And I get to introduce Krista Jackson with some of her selected directing credits, including Space Girl with the Prairie Theater Exchange, Doc Spider at Magnus, Dancing with Lunessa at Shaw Festival, A Doll's House Part 2 with Mervish and Manitoba Theater Center, and upcoming, we have the world premiere of The Diviners at Stratford Festival, The Wolves, which is a co-pro between Imago and Geordie Theatre, and you are also the artistic and executive director of Imago Theatre, which is amazing. So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So we wanted to kind of jump in with you, Sophia. We're really lucky, and you know, our audience, I think, will know you from hosting this podcast for a couple of years, and also for all of your work that you've done here at the Playhouse before. So we're super lucky to have you back with this amazing play. And I think a lot of people, when they think of playwriting, is someone who, you know, takes their pen to paper and their pen and goes off into a cabin in the woods for about 3 months, and you arrive back into the world with a play that is ready to go, and the actors take it and they rehearse it and they put it on stage. But that's not how it works. So what is the process of putting this together? Like, how did it even come to be?
Well, it's a very long story, and I feel like I'm not alone, that playwrights have long stories about their plays, but finally, like, from the idea to hitting the stage. But I think I started writing the play in 2016, I believe, because it was right after I'd done my first play, and I kind of wanted to up the ante and keep writing this kind of feminist farce idea. And so I started writing it. It took me a long time. I think I was doing an indie production of it eventually in the later half of 2017 in Toronto, but it was an indie production. We had no grants. I don't even know how we did it, but somehow we did. And then I won a playwriting award that got me talking at the Blythe Festival, and then Gil Garrett at the Blythe Festival was like a really big champion of me and the play. And then we were supposed to premiere in 2020, and Krista was going to do it, and we had been working really hard on this new draft of the script, because I'm skipping one step. which is Gil gave me one note one time over the phone that totally changed the play whatsoever, and I had to rewrite the whole thing. But anyways, finally, we were supposed to do it in 2020, and then the pandemic hit, and then I was very deeply depressed. And then Krista Jackson was like, we are still going to work on the play. And I was like, what's the point? Theater's dead. But then she just kept on chugging, and so we kept working on the play. And so I don't even know what draft I'm on at this point. And even over the weekend, we were still doing some small rewrites of just tweaks and things that we're finding. And so the joke is that I'm just never going to be done writing the script. I think it's just going to go on eternally.
Well, I think that's always the joke, right? The process of writing is rewriting, actually, right?
Totally. Totally. Which is so fun.
It just never ends. And then someday it'll be published, maybe, and then it'll be set in stone forever, and no one will ever be able to.
No, then I'll just like keep looking at the script and like beating myself up for all the things that I see. Because every time you look at it a year later, you see new things, and then Krista comes and says new things, and you're like, oh my God, but yes.
That's exciting, though. I think that it's still in process. I think that's really great. And I think this is the third production of the show.
Yeah, so Chris and I did the premiere at Blythe Festival, and then it just happened at Magnus Theater in Thunder Bay. And so it actually is really great for us to come back to play a year later with some of the same cast members and kind of just get to like dig deeper and finding little things that we want to tweak and polish. So I feel really lucky to get the chance to do that.
That's amazing. Krista, you are not only a director, but also work as a dramaturg. Can you tell us a bit about what a dramaturg is and how dramaturgy helps in the process of writing and producing a play?
Yeah, and I love working this way where it's very much in relationship with the playwright, and your goal is to direct it, but you go down the road together of all the dramaturgical questions. I think it's like being a cheerleader in a way to a playwright and cheerleading them on to keep going a lot of times, and then asking questions for logic, making sure that the tone is in the right place. And I remember we were workshopping in the summer of 2020, and you really were trying to balance act two with act one in terms mm-hmm. of the comedy and in terms of the recalls of some of the jokes. And so we worked quite a bit on that. And basically, yeah, just being there to be the person that can be the shoulder for whatever the playwright needs. Therapy.
There's a lot of therapy.
I love that. And so, as I said, you worked together on this. How was mounting it? You kind of touched on it a little bit already, Sophia, but coming back after a year and remounting it in a new place with mostly the same creative team and mostly the same cast, but a few different. So there's like enough differences that it's not the same, obviously, and it's never the same. That's the beauty of theater. But like, what is it like coming back a year later?
Well, we have two actors that are pretty much a pair in the show, and they're the new force within what we're creating in the hall right now. And it's amazing because they're coming in with their offers, with their ideas and their appetites in terms of how they see these double characters go. And so that's influencing how everybody is responding in the scene. So things that we had set are shifting, and they're becoming deeper, and they're becoming funnier, I hope, in that, you know, we're able to work out bits. We're able to kind of feed off of this new energy that's coming at us. So I think what we're going to have is another go where we have sort of a more rooted production and also a more technically fine-tuned production, which is amazing. What an opportunity, a glorious opportunity to get to do that again.
What do you mean by technically fine-tuned?
Well, this kind of comedy that Sophia writes so beautifully is really, it's all about precision, and it's door slams and it's timings and it's making sure that you don't let the air out of the balloon. So it's very much that you are, it's like choreography sometimes at the same time that it has to be, you know, have room to breathe. So there's lots of ebbs and flows that you've got to work out. And when you have new actors coming into it, they're bringing their energy, they're bringing their take. So everybody is shifting with that.
I think that's a great segue to our next question, because farce is a genre that has a lot of expected tropes and specificities, like mistaken identities, pacing, doors opening and closing, like you mentioned. How do you work within those parameters while still creating a piece that is original and surprising to the audience?
Okay. Well,
Sophia wrote it. Oh, God. She did that. Oh, she did that.
Well, okay, but to be fair, we've talked about this. We have, Chris and I has been really, again, as dramaturg and director and therapist, has like very much talked to me. You know, we've talked about this a lot in that it's a feminist farce and it has all the farcical elements with the mistaken identity and all the things that you would quote unquote expect from a farce. But we kind of turned it on its head in that if you look at a lot of like the classic farces, they're about like, you know, the men hoodwinking the women and the women are often the butt end of the joke. And so we've kind of had fun kind of subverting the expectation there. And what else? I mean,
the women, the line of women are at the forefront of the shenanigans. And Nora McClellan, who plays Mavis, the grandmother, is leading the charge. So that's really exciting that the matriarch is the one in charge of all of the chaos. And it's very satisfying. It's very satisfying for Nora, too, because these parts don't get written. And we need more of them because there are so many amazing women actors out there of an age that can be rolling around on the floor and making comedy.
Comedy.
I love it.
Comedy.
Well, I love that. That's awesome. And I think our audience will really, you know, see themselves in it too, which I think is really nice for people to see themselves as kind of the heroine and totally. Also conniving a little bit and a little
mischievous.
Bit mischievous.
Mischievous.
Which I love is a great look for as you say, a matriarch, which is kind of cool.
Totally.
And underpinning that, I just want to add that there's also a lot of love and like a deep sort of passionate love that is the undercurrent of the play between these family members, and that's really a beautiful thing to have as your sort of base to play with.
Yeah, and that's not usually there in farce, I would say, right? So that's tonally, we've been trying to figure that out like the whole time, really, about balancing the funny and the silly with the heart of it and making sure that is even, like you said, you mentioned earlier, Krista, about like act two. Like there was a moment where I remember leaving the table and I was like, I need to go meditate. Act two is not funny. And we were like, yeah, it was too full of heart and we lost some of the funny. Mm-hmm. So it's actually hard, I think, to find both. And to also, if I can give Krista a big shout out, to direct a production that holds both in it. And we have the razor sharp, you know, a moment that gets you in the gut and then the next one you're back to laughing. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to do that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Krista, I have a question for you, which is about this play, but also in general. Like you worked on a lot of new works, world premieres or premieres, Canadian premieres. How is it different when you're kind of in the room, when you're rehearsing and putting up a show that is new, completely new, versus something that is more well-trod and might have had productions and there might be an expectation from the audience? Like, how is that different for you? Or is it? Maybe it's not.
There's something that I've started adopting that once we get into the rehearsal hall, I try. It's never, like, you can't because the playwright is available to you, but that we start thinking this play has been done 100 times and that we give it that, you know, there's nothing to fix. There's nothing to fix, even though it's new. And then if we run up to against things that we need help with, we go to the playwright. And then ask, you know, what about this or what about that? Or this is feeling this is feeling that. So it then becomes a real exchange between a living playwright and a living company, which is amazing and so fulfilling. So that we start to work together on solving some of those problems or not even problems, but, you know, the things that need some massaging. So I love it. I love how relational it is in terms of just having a partnership. Really, I feel like it's like a partnership where we get to just continuously communicate about what's happening with the actors, what's happening with the designers, and how it's manifesting in the show.
Totally. And there's, I don't know if we've said this yet, but the play has 5 actors playing 9 characters. So it's a lot of people and tracks and stories to keep tabs on. So even over the weekend, Lucy Hill, we were talking about one of her journey stuff with one of her characters. And she's like living through it, right? And I'm trying to juggle all the things. So it's cool to be able to hear from the actor like how it's feeling in those moments. And I feel like we definitely have that kind of rehearsal room where everyone's being, fighting for the story in the best ways, but we're collaborating and it's not like, well, Sophia, this page 72 here. It's like not like that at all. So, yeah.
I mean, I think that's interesting, too, when you have actors in the room, that they can be a sole focus, whereas I think as directors and playwrights, you're looking at the entire world of the play. So to have that perspective from that actor and looking at that one journey, I think is really helpful to clarify.
Yeah, 100%. And this time around, we're able to go deeper into that work because we're not working the script so much. And we know some of the physical bits that work, and we know some of the staging that works that we can go back to and then changing other things. So we're going quite far down some of those character threads and those character journeys in a really satisfying way.
Yeah. That's so cool. So Sophie, you're saying there's still some little tweaks and changes that are happening. Like, how do you come about those sorts of things, you know? Well, because you're saying you're not, like, attacking the script quite so much as you were the first time, but there's still some little stuff, right?
It's all really, like, tiny stuff. I don't know if an audience member necessarily, if they saw, you know, like, on one page I changed three lines. You know what I mean? I don't know if people would really go, oh, wow, the powerful edits from last year to this year. But for us, it is really, like, I think fine detail work. And I think it's also looking at, like I said, each of the characters, like, arcs through the play. And also, it's a very complicated, annoying play in that there's just so many things going on. Like, well, who knows what when, and why does this person say that, and can they know this now, and all that kind of brain-breaking stuff. So even when I was in Thunder Bay, the stage manager was like, on this page, why does the character say that? Because they already know that. And I was like, God damn it. Like, I didn't know, okay? Like, it's actually, I hate to say it, but I'm just being honest. Like, I missed it. Like, and that's just how complicated it is. So I just think we're just going through it with a fine-tooth comb at this point. It's not uprooting anything major, but it's just cleaning, polishing, refining, sharpening, deepening.
And I would add to that that because everyone doubles, we're able to now have the actor who plays two parts talk about their relationship to their other part, like the two, which we didn't have time to do the first time, really, so that they're actually playing the two parts and having a point of view about each of their characters as the other character.
Oh, that's so interesting. And so it's like you hear yourself talk about the other character, and then you can even, like, embody that in some ways, right? Wow.
Because, like, one, Lucy Hill plays twins, right? Mm-hmm. And they're not talking to each other.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a lot. It's good.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. And you talk about how the play is so, I think the word you used was...
Crazy.
Yeah. And I remember reading the script, and there were like little graphs of like who's where when. And like, how is that when you're writing it versus now you're finally kind of like seeing it, like where people are actually doing it? Did you have like little models that you had that you like?
Chris and I had creepy little plasticine babies with all the different character names on them that we kept track of because it was like, because I also wanted the audience to remember. And it's hard because there's all those characters, like who is on doing what? And people aren't just running off stage for no reason. They're going off stage with an objective and a goal. And then they're coming back on stage either having completed it or not. That's actually, like, that's very hard to do, right? And for it all to make sense. And also, of course, I can't have the two twins be on stage at the same time because they're played by the same actor. So I have to somehow logic all of that out. But I did end up putting in the script little charts every couple of pages, like 10, maybe every 10 pages or so, where everybody is. Because when you're reading it for the first time, I feel like it actually is kind of like, oh my God, there's characters coming out the, you know, their ears, right? Just to try to keep track of everybody. But at this point, I feel like it really is, we know the track, we know where everybody's going, but also an audience member is only going to see it for the first time. So we're watching it with that too, like, and knowing, oh, this really landed in Blythe, or we lost them, like, maybe we lost some of the laughs here, we want to bump that up now. So we have just, like, it's actually amazing to get to do the show again with the director from your premiere, because I just feel like we're just putting, we had icing on the cake last year, but now we have sprinkles, and we have, like, little characters and candles and, like, fireworks.
And cherries.
And cherries, yeah. Cherry on top.
And I think, you know, that's interesting too. We think of playwriting and theater as creative, but there's sort of that math part of this too, and like how long do they need to make their costume change, and you know, that is a whole nother conversation about how you coordinate all that.
And so if I can just give Krista Jackson a quick little shout out, in March of last year, she like very kindly called me, like, I just want to chat with you, just want to look at the quick changes. And I was like, yeah, what about them? And she's like, well, I just want to make sure we have time for all the actors to do the quick changes. Like, she's thinking ahead months in advance, right? We haven't even started rehearsal, but she had the knowledge and the wisdom to go, this could be a hot mess backstage with people ripping costumes off and even not even making their entrances or being safe or any of those things. So we undertook a process that I've never gone through before, which was called costume dramaturgy, in which myself, Krista, and Sue, who's our set and costume designer, looked at every single one of the quick changes. And at some points I was like, oh yes, I have given the actor 4 lines of being off stage to go do their change. That's actually not possible. And even when we were in previews, I remember I was in Kingston, Krista's in the theater, obviously in Blythe, and she called me and she's like, listen, we're really trying to make this one work, but we just need like a couple more lines. And so like I wrote a couple more lines and sent them to them, and God bless everybody, they just threw them in the play just to give just a little bit more time. We really wanted the quick changes to be really fast and to ramp up, so that's something audience members can look for. Like, look for how much quicker the quick changes start happening and the magic ways that we make some of those quick changes happen, dot, dot, dot. We really wanted that to be really, like, impressive. But there's also just, you know, the safety of someone getting off stage and changing and coming back on. So it's very complicated. But Krista really, I think, saved the day, because if we hadn't done that, I think it really could have been really challenging.
And that was Sue LePage as well. Right. I mean, shout out to Sue, because she's done so many shows. And she and I were chatting, you know, this one's fine. And she really highlighted the ones that she thought we should look at ahead of time. And then there was a really cool process at Blythe where we had overwritten some, and then we could take out again. Mm-hmm. And then there were times where we had to add. So we were constantly in this dance around, you know, what is the... Yeah, and then there's one really cool one that we could tighten as the run tightened when you went back and saw it near the end of the, we won't spoiler, we won't say it, but you knew, oh, they're ready. That person's ready. We can go. So yeah.
Yeah. These will be edit notes for the published version of Liars.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I think it's going to be really cool for our audience, especially our podcasting audience as well, for the thought that goes into something that can sometimes seem light, like a farce. And I mean, I think you know and we know, like, a farce is tragedy. A farce is so many things. But when it's done well, it just seems
flies.
It just flies, right? Mm-hmm. And I think it's so interesting for our theater-going audience to hear about some of that kind of behind the scenes. And also how lucky we are to have a play that's sort of still a living, breathing, growing thing, right? Versus something that maybe has been done the same way 30 times, yeah. Which is really cool.
And if I can tell one quick story, I saw the show a number of times in Blythe, and of course no one knows that I'm the playwright, which is really fun because I'm just like walking down, you know, into the lobby with everyone, like listening to what they're saying, and the people were saying things like, well, that was amazing with the woman. She's playing the mom and the funeral homeowner. What? She's playing the mom and the funeral homeowner. No, she's not. What? They go through the whole play not even realizing that it's all doubled. And that's like, shout out to the cast for being so incredible and the costumes for transforming everybody. But that's not just like one time that I've heard that. It was again and again that people didn't even get so, they're doing such a good job that they're losing track that it's actually one person playing 2 characters.
It's amazing. And yeah, because it's really hard to put it all together and to construct it, but it should look so easy.
Yes.
When you watch it in the audience, it just looks, this is the easiest thing in the world, but it's not.
Well, comedy is hard.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. And so satisfying. I keep saying that word today. Satisfying.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's amazing. Thank you both for kind of delving into it a bit. Now, something we like to do on the 1000 Ounce Playhouse podcast, because you are here in beautiful Gananoque, and Sophia, you're here and there and everywhere. We like to do a little shout out of some place you've been to recently in Gan. I know, Krista, you were saying you had been to one of the restaurants downtown this weekend. Where did you go?
We went to Maroni's.
Oh, nice.
And my husband had said he was there before, and I don't remember being there, but anyway, it was like great. And so like family run, and we had pizza and salad, and it was just great. It was one of the only things left open on Sunday night on the long weekend. And yeah, big shout out for Maroni's. It's like tried true Gananoque staple, I think. Mm-hmm. We had a great time.
Amazing. That's great. And Sophia, I know you were here really consistently over 3 years. You're still around a lot. Is there a place that you've been kind of hankering to go to when you come down for Tech Week? Or?
Well, I think I went there on my first day of rehearsal when I was in with the crew. I went to Panache Bakery because it's one of my faves. I love it. And I get the gluten-free bread, which is excellent. And then I totally throw the gluten-free thing out the window and I get the carrot cake. It's totally full of gluten, but it's so good. So I would highly recommend.
Amazing. There's so many delicious places that people should check out in downtown Gananoque, and not even downtown, other places in Gananoque too. Yeah, definitely. Awesome.
Thank you so much, Sophia and Krista. For more information, please visit us at ThousandIslandsPlayhouse.com.
Yeah, and thank you both so much. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll see you at the theater.